We're legal. Great. So I'm going to call the meeting to order. And we have someone here to do the attendance.
Sure, I'll do it. Oh, hang on one sec, who's? Oh, here comes Nina. Okay, Chair DeLon.
Here.
Legislator Criswell.
Here.
Legislator Parody.
Yep.
Legislator Corcoran. Legislator Waro. Okay, we have three present, two absent.
Great. Do I need a motion to approve the minutes of the October 5th, 2020?
Yep. Go ahead. Don gets it. I'll second it.
Very good. Thank you. All in favor?
Yep.
Aye.
So Mark was here first, and so we're going to let him go and give us an update. Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Al, why don't you go first, and we'll go with Mark.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Enrollment, we have finished the fall enrollment and we hit just exactly what we anticipated with 9% down. So we can live with that. Winter enrollment is started and we are exactly even with last year. And spring enrollment just started. So we'll be watching that real close. And again, what I've said, you know, throughout the year, it'll be the fall enrollment that'll be the critical one. We are financially secure with the federal aid. So what we'll be doing, not too concerned with this year, but I think we're going to hit our budget, which is exactly what we wanted to do. On a positive note, tomorrow and the next day, we are bringing 200 high school kids, part of the President's Challenge. All of them have been sponsored by someone in the community. So the next 2 days will be on campus. It's probably the most fun thing that I do all year, is, you know, have those ninth and 10th graders that are getting college IDs, if there's any classrooms, they get to meet the sponsors. We have a lunch, they sign a commitment. We have a book and they come up front and they sign a promise to do what we had asked them to do. So it'll be a good 2 days. So we'll have over 200 on campus. And we got good news from the Johnson Foundation. You know, based on what Darlene had provided us, the $1 million, Johnson gave us $400,000 to continue the program. So a lot of good news when it comes to that, you know, and that's the future. You know, we're looking at, you know, 200 kids, that's 200 possible FTE in the next few years. So anyway, good news with that. And that's looking forward to the next 2 days.
Great. Thank you. That would be a lot of fun. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of headache. But
well, unfortunately, I don't have to do the headache, Jen Zellin.
Yeah, you just have to smile. That's great.
Yeah, so I'm lucky.
Well, are there any questions? No.
No.
Thank you, Dr. Al. We'll see you next month.
See you next month. Have a good, good rest of the meeting. We'll see you soon.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye bye.
And Legislator Waro joined us.
Very good. Welcome. Mark Cozzopoli, Director of Veteran Services Agency. Do you want to give us an update?
Sure. As usual, we've been very busy with our veteran population. And throughout the pandemic, you know, we continue to fulfill all of our programs and resources. So our client engagements might have slowed down just a little bit, but our other programs were fully operational, such as the transportation program. And then we did a lot more community outreach throughout this last 2 years to make sure that we were reaching out to those veterans that are in the hard to find places. And we've been pretty successful so far. Coming up this week, the week of Veterans Day, this is a big week for us. There's a lot of different ceremonies going on, a lot of events. But one thing that we have recently done is partnered with NYSAC to be a part of Operation Greenlight. So what that means is, as a county, we are committing to support our veterans in many different ways. One of them is visually, where residents and businesses can use a green light bulb just to show a veteran that's going by, or show anybody that's going by, whether driving or walking by, that by having that green light, you're green lighting a vet. You're saying, we support our veterans. We want to do right by our veterans. But on a larger scale, this operation really is getting the local government, and local businesses to really look at within and see how they can help better serve veterans, whether it is giving them priority hiring or as an educational institution, if they make veteran students more of a priority and help them cut through the red tape that tends to come with a lot of the VA paperwork, you know, just to put more emphasis on helping them. And we can make sure that the focus is on our veterans in the community and specifically looking to get those that have transitioned recently or are transitioning back into the community so they can feel like they're back a part of the community that they might have left 4, 6, 8 years ago. And as far as our cemetery plans go, the expansion is going well. We're in our phase 3 of the archaeological study, and that report is going to be handed to us within the next week or two. Once that's done, we will just do some digging at the sites that show some clusters of artifacts. What we did here so far is that it looks like it's just artifacts, no burial remains and nothing else. So that would be very good news for us as to be able to move forward quicker with the actual project itself and construction.
Just a quick question. I'm guessing at this point in the year, that would be a spring, late spring start project.
Absolutely. So we would be looking, if all goes well with this report that we're going to get the next 2 days or 2 weeks, we should be able to announce that on Memorial Day, we'd be looking to do groundbreaking or the ceremonial groundbreaking. So it's very apropos to be able to do it on Memorial Day. So I don't think that's going to be an issue when we're finally going to get there.
And do you want to touch upon the budget, Mark?
Sure. The budget increase is not significant by any means. And a lot of it has to do with the increase in wages throughout. We're just kept pretty much everything status quo. We might have upped certain areas looking at costs of products, such as fuel, you know, things like that for the transportation program. But the budget we're executing now has been enough. And then what we are rolling into for next year and hoping to have approved for next year is going to be the appropriate amount for us to be able to not only service our veterans, but to be able to continue to create those outreach programs and find ways to find the veterans where they are versus, you know, forcing them to always come to us. So we're really making a big push with communication and just getting out from just the office.
So Mark, do you have any idea of how many folks you and needs you address during the course of a year, given this budget?
Yeah, it's in the thousands that we have client engagement, but I could get you an exact number. I just don't have it off the top of my head. I could pull a monthly report and then get it to you, give you an exact, okay. But it's significant. The one thing that we are recognizing is that the veteran population is shrinking slightly, but their needs are growing. Less than 1% of the current population serves in the military now. That's at the lowest it's ever been. So less than 1% is protecting the 99 plus. So with that, obviously transitioning service members are going to be fewer. But the problem is this population, this generation of veteran seems to have a lot more issues and struggles a lot more with that transition back, integrating back into the community. We went through that with the Vietnam veterans, but I don't think that they had the county resources or the care and concern that is now happening. And as a county, we are going to be facing that. While there might be less, they're going to be more in need as they come home.
Great. Any questions for Mark? Being none, thank you, Mark.
All right, and I'll get back to you with our estimate number, okay, of how many we...
Yeah, Mark, send me an email, and I'll give it to the committee.
All right, thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Take care.
Susan.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Do you want an update first, what we've done?
Please.
All the balls we're juggling. Just to go back a little, a couple of months, we had some great, well-attended events in the summer. The seniors liked doing things outside. Had a couple picnics. They all had wait lists. We had some bingo games. We had a senior expo, or just a health services expo a few weeks ago. It was very cold. And they are trying to get their own groups back. They're settled and serving in place in their senior resource groups. They're trying to get them back into person. Not everybody's comfortable. We had a lot of giveaway opportunities for our farmers market coupon books that we get every year from the state, actually from the Department of Agriculture. And we were able, unlike last year, to get rid of all of them this year, which was great. We had...
I'm just wondering, is that income based?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was, even though we had a lot of opportunities last summer, for some reason we weren't able to get rid of all of them. I don't know why. But this year we did, which was great. Our neighbor to neighbor program started back up in October. That's the volunteer driving program that we have. That's not the UCAP program. That's the one we run out of our office in conjunction with Jewish Family Services. We really looking for drivers. We lost a lot of drivers over COVID. Our tax aid program's gonna start getting riled up again starting in January, February. That's also not going to be in person again this year, but it seemed to work okay with people getting scanned documents back and forth. And our open enrollment for Medicare started in mid-October, will go till the 7th of December. And they've been quite busy meeting people in the office and outside of the office. We constantly get a lot of requests for help. Our wait list empties and it grows simultaneously. So we're able to empty it, but people, I would say there's more people asking at this point. We really having a big struggle with the lack of aides in this county, and it's not just here. I know it's everywhere. I hear my colleagues in all other counties talking about the same thing. So that's a big problem because a lot of them need aides and they need help at home. We are starting to see a lot more seniors at our congregate sites. We're having one meal a week, two in Ellenville, because it's such a big group and trying to keep them separate. So those are slowly growing, which is great. We've been planning a lot of Tai Chi all over the county and exercise classes at the hub, and they're very popular. They also have wait lists. And the seniors are asking for a holiday party, so we're going to try to have one in Saugerties in December. We're going to have a holiday movie for them at Rosendale Theater, where we've had a contract. We've held a couple of lunch and learns each month with folks learning about different things. They have a little lunch and they learn about something. Those are going pretty well. Just so you hear some numbers, we have, you know, each case manager keeps 70 to 80 cases around open. So there's four case managers. So we're talking about, you know, maybe 320 people. We have about 275 people getting home delivered meals, about 40 people coming to the congregate sites all told. We also have a grant meal program that's a combination of money from Project Resilience grant and an anonymous donor grant that we use for people who need grants, food temporarily. You know, I had shoulder surgery or I can't walk or it's really hard for me to get around. And we were able to blend that in with our home delivered meal program with Gateway, but it's funded through a fund through the Community Foundation, and it's not through our regular home delivered meals. So they're not case managed. It's just sort of for a limited time. That's about 300 people on that. So all told, we have almost 600 people getting home delivered meals of some sort. We just had an advisory board meeting today, and they are trying to get their senior groups back together. They've been on Zoom or they've been sort of hybrid, and most of them are very, you know, are concerned about the fact that winter's coming and they can't meet outside anymore. But people are tired of Zoom too, so they kind of want to get back together in person. So they're trying to figure out ways to meet maybe at the hub where we have a nice big space. We're trying to fill up the hub as much as we can. We've got, I think, three or four exercise days in there. Every week we have evidence-based programming in there with our chronic disease self-management. We're going to start bingo size. We're going to start a couple of other evidence-based programs around the county in different places. And we already took a mobile OFA mobile services to Wallkill a couple weeks ago, and we're planning another one November 17th out at Aloha Acres, where we're bringing the lawyer and the HICAP counselor, and they have appointments already, and they have folks in that place who really can't get out, aren't very mobile. So we're sort of bringing our show to them, and using our van that we resuscitated, and we're going to rewrap it and drive it where it needs to go. Pine Hill and Shandaken are very interested in having us also come out to them. So we're doing a lot. There's a lot of balls in the air juggling around. So I welcome any questions. Yes,
Peter. Yeah, I just had a question about boosters. Do you have any sort of program that's helping seniors get booster shots?
Well, if they call us and they cannot get onto the internet, we will make them an appointment, because we have, we have access to the form through the county website. We also help them if they're homebound, for instance. And we found this when the vaccines first came out, there were a lot of people who couldn't go out. And so we refer them to the Department of Health, and they can give them a home visit for a booster too. So that, I think that's being taken care of.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, and the budgets?
Nothing remarkable. We are questioning this 97.5 budgeted 2022 number. We're not sure where that came from. So hopefully that will be resolved soon. And I just wanted to point out that our insurance counselor, Bob, went from being a contracted service to being a part-time employee. So the contracted services went down, and he ended up in staffing. So that's why there was a difference between 2021 and 2022. We did get some money from NYSOFA for different things. So we had, I think we did a resolution and added some in the food budget. So that went up. That was from NYSOFA. That's nothing to do with the county. And also we got money to make someone's home more habitable, for lack of a better word. So we've got a few projects either going or in the works where people need a ramp built, or they need their porch widened so a ramp can be built, or they need things inside their house that make their house more accessible. So we increased that a little bit. And what else did I write down that I thought was interesting? I just wanted to point out from FY 2020 to FY 2021, or actually FY 19 to FY 20, big increase, big decrease in personal care aids. And then again, sort of hovering around 395. We're not going to use all that. Nobody has any aids, unfortunately. So we're going to use a portion of that and figure out something different to do, like hire our own. And I'll let you know if that happens. I know Mark and I talked about that a while ago. So we seem to be successful in hiring our own aides, but not very successful using them from the home care agencies, because they don't seem to have enough. And I can't say that often enough, that it's a huge problem.
What are you paying them?
We pay our aides that we hired $15.95, or it's almost $16 an hour. So it's substantially higher than they get from a home care agency. Plus we get, and most, even more importantly, I think at least as importantly, they get paid time off and health benefits. And a lot of home care agencies don't give either in mileage, but we have company cars. So yeah.
Do you have active job descriptions on your website right now and notices for
home? I don't think we have it, because we haven't decided what we're going to do with new aides. We have two. We've had them for almost 2 years. So that's been going really, really well.
I'm asking is because I'm the head of the LGBTQ center, and we have a job postings notice on our board, and I'd happily post it and see if we can get
some
from our community.
I'll let you know when we get to that decision point. What I want to figure out is how much have I spent from these contracts this year? How much do I have left over that I could actually use to pay aides instead of relying on the contracts, which who don't have them? So any other questions? I think that's the only thing that I had that was terribly notable. I can't do much with people's I don't do much with people's costs and their health insurance and their social security or anything like that. So I will resolve that whole UCAT increase. We're not sure where that came from.
All right. Anyone have questions? No? Well, thank you, Susan.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Nina?
Nina's turn.
Oh, sorry, I was muted. Yep. Sorry. Good evening, everyone. I have, which would you like to do first? Would you like to review programs? Would you like me to review programs or either my increase in staff, whichever you prefer?
Yeah, I think just give us an update on what's happened for the last year and then dive into the budget.
Oh, gosh. So I love the way Susan presented, so I'm going to kind of follow suit. Some fun things that we did work with youth. The minute that we were able to do outside events, we did an event called Be Kind, which is an event where we actually encouraged youth to be kind to either another youth or either senior citizens in their community. And it was an amazing, amazing event. We did it on the rooftop at CCE building, which is the old bowling alley building on Cedar Street. And we actually had it be youth run as opposed to adults running this event. And it was great. We took students from, Rondell High School has a human rights commission, a youth human rights commission. And we actually let them run this event. And they actually talked about different things that happened in their life because there were so many social events that happened in the past year that affected so many people. Me and the board figured that this would be a great way to open up the summer. So we did this and let the youth pretty much run it. And we had 5 girls speak. They were amazing. They were like adults in teens' bodies, just speaking about things that they had. We had every nationality, well, not every, but most nationalities represented. So we tried to make it very, very diverse and inclusive. We had a young girl that was, she was Latino and she was non-communicative. She was adopted. She spoke about what her life was like and how she, you know, the things that she actually went through. She was non-communicative because of the trauma that she endured. But through support systems, she actually came out of it. And now she speaks out for kids that are an adopted situation. So it's beautiful. We had another girl that was white that was actually carrying a backpack in school and it had an LGBTQ button on it and she was picked on by a group of guys. And she ended up being very upset. She cried and then she actually got strength from it because one of the human rights committee members actually helped her. She's on her human rights commission at the school. And from her support, she actually became very, very strong and outspoken about LGBTQ rights. So she was one other person. We had a black girl that was spoken. She was called Monkey at the school up until like last year. And she spoke out about how through her human rights group at the school, how she actually developed the strength to speak out against it. So it was a really powerful event. We had an Asian girl and we had an Indian girl. It was really, really, really amazing. People were crying at this event. It was amazing. So that was one good thing to break out with for the youth board. And all of my members were there. Each one of them were able to actually meet with masks on and social distancing because it was very fresh at that point. But it was a very good but emotional event and it affected people. And we probably, I think we had 100 kids that we presented with a little gift, which were ear pods. That seems to like really, really be a really big deal with them. The ear pods were dispensed from Kingston to youth in Kingston, Ellenville, Saugerties. We didn't get Marlboro, Ellenville. So we actually tried to make sure we covered the county. So that was one big deal. Another event that we did to update on some of the things that the Youth Bureau is doing, because I want us to be more of an outgoing organization as opposed to internal, because we're going to help the county youth better this way. We got a directive from the state requesting that we do something for gun violence. And what I did, because I'm still, I went throughout the county, well, not the county, the city of Kingston, because it was designated for Kingston. I went into the target populations and I asked youth, well, what could I do for you? What event could I do for you to actually help prevent you from being pulled into gangs or to violent situations? And I ended up taking whatever the main focus was. I went to the to Rondell Gardens. I went to all of the projects that I could actually get to. I went to Franklin Street, Cedar Street, Henry Street. And what they came up with the most was basketball. So I actually had Tay Fisher, who was an icon here in Kingston, and Coach Winecoop, who coached him when he was at Kingston High School. They actually ran this against gun violence tournament, which is still ongoing. It's actually going to run until November, right up until Thanksgiving. And that actually was very, very well received. I started out with just students coming, and then later parents started coming to the games, as well as grandparents. And I was able to get some measurable goals from those events. Everybody that entered had to sign, you know, when they entered. And I got to ask them the five basic questions about COVID. Did you take the test? Are you willing to be vaccinated? Blah, blah, blah. So I used it as a multifaceted thing, but it worked out really, really well. So that's pretty much, you know, I'm kind of always doing outgoing events. I could go on and on and on, but I won't bore you with it. But it is really, really exciting, and it's what I love to do. As far as programs, I sent Nettie a couple of things. I probably sent her too many things. But what you'll probably see when you get back to your email is a list of all of the programs that we're actually funding this year, what their allotted amounts are, and you'll be able to see which programs did not apply. I'm looking at the document myself. Hurley did not apply and Plattekill did not apply. 2020 was the weirdest year, hopefully, that we'll ever get to see. So 2020, I did not have the main number that I normally get. Normally I get about 30, 32 programs. Some of the programs were unable to run because of COVID. So I ended up taking the funding and putting it into the programs that were actually helping with daycare and doing the community-based organizations that were able to actually help kids with the technical support that they needed to actually attend school virtually. It was just a bizarre year. So for 2021, we had all the programs now asking for their funding again. So we tried to make miracles like we're used to doing. So I won't bore you with the numbers, but you'll see it all in the email that I just sent you guys. And the other thing that I'd love to just really brief you guys on is my employees have grown. The Youth Bureau has grown a little, because we're actually expanding what we do to support youth, specifically at-risk youth. We have a program called Brighter Futures Initiative, which is started out with 10 youth in Kingston, 10 in Ellenville. That grew from 10 and 10 to 20 and 20. And because we had such good results with the program and with the being received by Ellenville High School and Kingston High School, BOCES heard about it. And then they asked if we could actually help them. So now we're supporting BOCES in Port Ewing. So it's grown. And the BOCES kids are a little bit more involved. These are the kids that normally either have a lot of psychological issues or they have a lot of emotional issues. So sometimes they actually start out in a regular school system and then they get referred to BOCES. Sometimes their parents refer them to BOCES, but most often it's school systems. So we have I have a new employee that's part-time there, but she's kind of struggling with it because they're cases are much more involved than the high schools are. So in 2022, I'll probably be coming back saying, please, can we make this a full-time position? Because BOCES is begging for her already to be full-time because she's able to do what they are not able to, the family, which is the family engagement piece. She goes into homes. I'll give you an example of one specific situation. There are two kids at this BOCES program that she's working with. They're cousins. They're actually being raised right now by their grandfather because their parents, their mother just recently died. And just as the mom died, the grandmother ended up in the hospital. So the grandfather's trying to actually take care of these kids along with their trauma of their parent that's actually just recently passed away. So it's very, very involved. And one of the kids is autistic. So that case is a lot of work, but she loves it. She goes into the home. The grandfather is grateful every time my coordinator goes into the home and says, hey, you guys have to get up. Your grandfather can't do this. He can't make it up the stairs. Like, and the home is like not in the best shape. So we're hoping to get her a lot of supports that are not normal. Like we're going to try to help them get their house together if we can possibly pull that off. But we do a lot of different things in this program. It's very well received by BOCES, Kingston High, and Ellenville. So I have in total now, I started out with one assistant. Now I'm up to two full-time coordinators and one part-time coordinator and my assistant. So we have a youth bureau is growing a little bit and it might grow more, I hope, depending on what you guys say. That's pretty much it for me.
Well, thank you, Nina. Any questions? Welcome. No? Well, let's move on to the resolutions then. Resolution number 524. Approving the execution of a contract for $111,435 entered into by the County and Family of Woodstock, Inc. Youth Bureau.
I move it for discussion.
Second.
Any questions? Discussion? None? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Resolution 525, approving the execution of a contract for $69,557 entered into by the County Family of Woodstock, Inc. Youth Bureau.
Move for discussion.
All right. Second.
All right. Any questions? Nina, do you know anything about this one?
About the resolutions?
Yes. Any chance?
They're pretty standard. These resolutions are necessary if the contract is over 50,000. So it's pretty standard. We have to bring it to the legislative body for review if it's over 50,000.
I think they're asking what is in the contract for the second resolution.
Oh, the one is for family house and one is for transitional living. Is that what they're asking?
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Okay, sure. So it's two. One is for runaway and homeless youth, and the other is for sort of families that are kind of displaced at the time.
It's another mechanism for us to use. You know, this is reimbursable by state funds, some of it, right? Nina, are these all 100% county funds?
I wish. They're 60% for these two programs. Yeah, and it's 60% right of what the state allots, but yeah. They're very necessary. They've actually saved a lot of kids.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Let's vote on this. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, then. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a happy Thanksgiving, guys.
You.
Thanks.
Getting to that point.
It is. Thanks.
All right. Any new business?
I just had a quick budget question, actually, since Mark's on the line. So I was just looking through the information that was sent to us for this committee meeting, and I noticed that a couple of the items were zeroed out. And I'm going to assume that they were zeroed out because they live in the county's budget somewhere else. Specifically, let me see, it was one of the last things in here. Other performing arts, which is line item 7560, that was zeroed out in this. Library 7410.
These are all what you're talking about is all legislative programs. That those monies don't get put into place until you all do your.
I thought so. I just wanted to hear that from your mouth. Yeah. So, okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mark. All right. New and old business. Okay. Well, I guess I'll see you in another couple of minutes again. Thank you all.
Motion. You have a motion?
Yes. I move we adjourn.
All right. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Good night. Good night.